looking in the scripture. Yes, this scripture's probably been read as much as any scripture, probably down through the days, as well as John 3. Appreciate these boys. God's using them. And to be used of God's a great thing. No matter what you do, whether you teach a class, whether you play an instrument, whatever you do in the church ministry of God, it's a blessing. And it always helps the body to see everybody participate. It's edified. Luke 16, verse 19, there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day. Sounds like every American about. There was a certain beggar named Lazarus which was laid at his gate full of sores, desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. It came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels in Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. In hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip tip his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus' evil things. Now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. Beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send into my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest he also come into this place of torment. And Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. That's what the rich man said. What's he know about repentance? Besides, he's heard it. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded though one rose from the dead. I won't preach tonight if God will help me on a man's words from hell. Now, I know hell has been used a lot of different ways. Paul said, therefore, I rejoice when the gospel is preached. If a man does this, Paul said, whatever motive the gospel is preached in, therein do I rejoice. My motive for this message tonight is just simply to wake our hearts up to realize that there is an eternity without God. And what this man said, that when he was in hell or in Hades, my friend, and what Lazarus or Abraham said it was, why he was in the paradise side of it after these men died. Now, I want to show you something in this scripture tonight that I believe it's right, of some things that's been preached before that's not here in this scripture. First of all, this man that died was a wealthy man. His wealth didn't send him to hell, but Jesus did say it's easier for the camel to go through the needle's eye than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom. That's what Jesus said. In fact, that's what we believe literal. I know there's been a thing said about this camel coming under a real narrow rope or something like that, but I still take it literal tonight that Jesus is saying that it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter heaven. It's not that rich man has to give up his riches. It's just he's got to be willing to give it up and turn to God. There cannot be nothing tonight between you and God when you come to Him. And money's the biggest thing in this day. God, everything is run by it about. And so this rich man had wealth. Wealth can produce arrogance. Wealth can produce self-sufficiency. Wealth can, my friend, cause us, thank God, God to depend on it more than we do God. And I want to say this tonight. Thank God for the wealth that God give us. Thank God tonight for the riches we have in Christ. Thank God. But my friend tonight, we do have monetary things. We are blessed. We just can't let the blessing be a curse tonight. We can't let possessions rule us. For a life don't consist in the abundance of things a man possesseth. That's why Jesus said, beware of covetousness. Covetousness is desiring something God don't want you to have. It's an unlawful desire. It's desiring temporal things more than eternal things. Why did Paul say, set your affection on things above and not things on earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt and thieves break through and steal? And so this man has wealth. He's a rich man. And the Bible said he was clothed in purple and fine linen. He had the best of clothing. Amen. Costly clothing. Purple was something that was a color majesty. That thing that kings wore. And here we find that they fared sumptuously. That means that he lived a luxurious life. Amen. My grandpa and some of you growed up, and all you had was day by day just a portion of food. Some people growed up eating the beans every day they lived. But they're living. Amen. And a lot of times in the day we've just been abundantly blessed. And I thank God for it that we have a choice in what we can sit down at a table and eat. This man, my friend, had everything he wanted. As far as what we see tonight, he had everything in this life, but he had nothing. He had not God. He had only riches of this life that'll make a man, thank God, go to hell, friend. Thank God tonight, because wealth is a fast way to doom. Amen. That's right. Money's not the issue, it's the heart of man. It's what you do with it. It's every principle of this Bible, and I can tell you this tonight, and I know people don't agree with it, but it's just the truth. It's what you do with what you got. Isn't that right? If you're stingy and you don't give, then you're not right with God. Amen. I'm going to tell you, you listen to this preacher tonight, and I'm moving on. A people that won't give is a people that ain't like God. The greatest thing God ever done was gave His Son. The greatest thing Jesus ever did was gave His life. Amen. And He gave us eternal life through what His Son done on the cross. And brother, I'm telling you tonight, if you hold it off yourself, listen, Ananias and Sapphira is a perfect example. They kept back. Amen. They kept back. And then they lied to God. Amen. They had an early grave because of it. Amen. And so this rich man's got wealth. Thank God. And the Bible said in verse 20, and there was a certain beggar. He was a pauper. He didn't have nothing. Thank God that laid it, that Lazarus, that laid in the gate full of sores. Them sores were ulcers. Amen. The Bible said more the dogs came and licked his sores. He desired to be fed with the crumbs, the bread that they wiped their hands with, threw it out. And dogs and Lazarus scrambled to get what they could. Thank God before the rich man's table. And moreover, the dogs licked him clean. He licked on Lazarus. But here's the thing I want you to see tonight. This is not a parable. This is the truth. When a man says it's a parable, he does not justify the Scriptures. Thank God a parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. This is not a story. This is reality. This is truth. This is what happened. Thank God, friend, Jesus gave specific names. He said Abraham, Lazarus. He didn't call the rich man by name. But I'll tell you this, friend, he was as real, amen, as Danny is on the front row. And so, tonight the Bible said, and it came to pass that the beggar died. Amen. Listen, every man's going to die. He don't know when, but he will. He's going to expire in this life. You don't have but a short time. Thank God it's like a hand breath. It's like a vapor that appears for a short while and then vanishes away. And so every man's going to go to the coffin. Amen. This flesh has got to be put put off is corrupt. The last day of sins, the last day, thank God, when you're buried. Amen. Because you're going to be. Amen. When I draw my last breath, thank God, friend, I'm telling you, amen, it's over here. It's not over in eternity, but it's over here. This flesh is going to go back to the dust that it was made from. We're clay. He formed man out of the dust of the ground. It was a wet mud, apparently, that he formed man in, and he breathed in his nostrils the breath of life. And mankind has life because of God. Amen. And he'll die. Amen. And the Ecclesiastes writer said, there's a time to be born, the time to die. And brother, tonight, every time you ride by a cemetery, just realize, amen, that's because of the fall of mankind. That's because of sin that brought forth death. And mankind is dying every day. Amen. Listen, you don't take long to find somebody that you've known recently that died. Amen. That my friend, thank God, that died suddenly, that died unexpectedly. It wasn't unexpected to God, but it was unexpected, amen, to the family. It's a sad time. It's sorrowful. But friend, I'm telling you that it's happened since Adam's sin. For Cain killed Abel, and therefore Adam lived 930 years, and Adam died, friend, and 930 years ain't a long time compared to how long we'll be in eternity. You can't, my friend, take one grain of sand and compare all the sand on the seashore, and that's the way I look at it. One grain compared to every grain on the seashore. That's no comparison. And life, my friends, that short. It's fleeing by. Thank God, friend, I'm telling you this. In our mind, we're 18 and 20, but in our real body, we're 60 and 70 and 80. And the older we get, the closer we get. Thank God, you're not going to escape it unless the Lord saw fit to come back and call us up. We're going to face death. I don't know who the next person in the congregation will be, but somebody one day is going to get a call and say, the preacher's gone. One day you're going to get a call and say, somebody passed on. It's sad. It's true. Help us, Lord. But it's a true fact. Are you ready to meet God's the question? Are you prepared? Amen. In your own heart to face the judgment. Amen. Are you prepared tonight? Would you want to face God? Amen. It scares me to death. You say you're saved, preacher. I know I am. But it still scares me to death. The hereafter, the afterlife. Amen. We don't know all about it. We just know when we leave here. Thank God, we're going to face God. Amen. We're going to face Him. And friend, when the rich man died, he lifted up his eyes in hell. Can I give you this tonight? A rich man went to hell, friend. That's not a byword that most people use. That's a literal place that God prepared for the devil and his angels. It wasn't prepared for mankind, but mankind sinned, and now his doom, my friend, is death in the grave. And my friend, he's lost hell. And therefore, hell is a real place. Friend, tonight, if you close your eyes in your bed tonight, amen, and God, and God said, this is the last heartbeat, and you wake over there and shake your husband, or try to talk to your wife, and her body's a little cold, amen, and it's too late, friend, thank God, when you close your eyes and went to sleep, were you ready to meet God, amen, when God comes, thank God, it says it's your last day on earth, are you ready to meet Him, thank God, because hell is as real as heaven, amen. That's right. So this, I want to tell you this. This rich man didn't want out of hell. Nowhere in the Bible did he say he wanted out of hell. He wanted comforted in hell. That's what he wanted. And I want to tell you this tonight, friend. Heaven's in the born again people. That's right. You ever heard it said, I try not to use the word loosely, but there is a biblical truth to this. There are people that are full of hell. You got a scripture on that? Yeah. Jesus said there was more twofold a child of hell than themselves. Jesus said this to one crowd. He said, I'm from above and you're from beneath. That's what Jesus said. Jesus thought, it was also said that these people were twice dead and plucked up by the root in some texts. And so there is a reality tonight of damnation. The reality, he said, many there go in the broad way that leads to destruction. And so notice what this man said in hell. I'm interested in what he said in hell. The Bible said in verse 23, and he lift up his eyes being in torments. Now the word torment there just means he's tortured in hell. Now separation from God, separation from grace, and separation from mercy. Listen, can I tell you this tonight? It is the mercy of God that you're not going to hell. It's the mercy of God that I'm not going to hell. I'm telling you tonight, friend, I got to get up. I get on my knees and say, God, it's the mercy of God that I'm not going to hell tonight. It's the mercy of God that you're not going to hell tonight. But listen, God has mercy on people. His mercy endures forever. And it don't take but one sin to send a man to hell, friend. God could have damned the human race because of sin. Amen. But God had mercy. Amen. I'm going to tell you this tonight. God always, listen, God has a plan. And God has mercy. If God didn't have mercy, we'd be in hell. I'm telling you what I know myself, and I'm telling you this, and I'm honest with my heart. As wicked and dirty and rotten, as corrupt, as defiled, and as a sinner I am, God could have stomped me in hell like I'd stomp on a bug crawling on the ground. He could have poured out vengeance, son. If you want to see, and I know we're living in a New Testament day. Thank God for the New Covenant. Amen. The Old Covenant, thank God. Amen. You look at the killing and the beating and all that went on there. And brother, there's some things that's just very hard to understand. But it's the God's truth. Amen. God wiped out countries, friend. He wiped out countries. He wiped out them crowd. He wiped out everybody. He wiped out the man, the woman, the suckling, the child. It didn't matter. God wiped them out. And you say, why did God do that? Because of the justice of God. Amen. And also, too, because of the idolatry and the heathenism and the perversion. Why do you think God rained fire down on Sodom? It wasn't only because of Sodom, even though that was the main sin. It's because of the fullness of bread, pride, idleness, all the things that's going on there. And they forgot God. There wasn't no God down there. Lot went down there and messed up. But I'm telling you this, friend. God is a God of mercy. What's the first thing the rich man asked for? Look at the scripture tonight. He said he lifted up his eyes in hell being a torment and see if Abraham the father left his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. Mercy means this to me. Mercy means God have compassion. God have pity. God please withhold your judgment. God, please, don't let me go through this. This man was already in hell. Listen, friend, praying in hell is too late. You can't, listen, hell, my friend, is a real place. You can't pray. You might pray in hell. There's probably, ain't got a little prayer meeting going on in hell, but it's an unanswered prayer meeting. It's never going to be heard. It's never going to be answered. Abraham, God's in paradise. God allowed this man to see him. And he said, have mercy on me, Father Abraham. Well, mercy ain't in Father Abraham. Mercy's in the God Father Abraham knew. And I'm telling you this tonight. If you're lost in this church house tonight and you don't want to cry for mercy, God help you. God could wipe us out tonight. God could put you in hell tonight. You just don't see the need to seek Him while He may be found. Because mercy is what you need in your soul. And God has mercy on you. If He didn't, He'd done cut you. But I'm telling you, this man from hell said, have mercy on me. That's what he prayed for, mercy. Notice what else he said. What did he say? Number one, he said mercy. Then he said, and seeing Lazarus, the man that laid outside my gate, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue. That's what he prayed. That was the words from a man in hell. This is what he's saying. I want Lazarus, I want you to send Lazarus, but I want you to have him a dip. Now that word dip means to immerse my finger in water and cool my tongue. Now I know we say things, you know, don't say nothing about one drop of water, nothing like that. He just says, I want him to put his finger in water And I want him to come and I want him to rub my tongue with that water on his finger. How can we get to reality in what I'm preaching? How can we be so desensitized and deluded today in our minds that we don't even believe what I'm preaching? If you really thought your family was going to hell, if you really thought that, and I really thought that, then we'd act upon it. We'd do all we could to warn them. Amen. But what the problem is, we've desensitized our own mind of what the preacher's preaching is from the Bible. But I don't really believe people's going there. And unless they really bad and wicked. But the fact of it is, everybody's going there that knows Holy Ghost dealings and knows the consciousness of sin and knows the and what Christ, who Christ is as far as what He done and what they did to put Him on the cross. And they're the guilty sinner tonight. And they're guilty of Christ's death. And every man that dies, friend, that's not saved to go to hell because of it. Right. People don't believe it no more. I'm preaching to an ear. And thank God when I come to church 30 years ago and I preached on hell and I hardly ever preached on it. Thank God. But when I preached on hell, I remember preaching revivals, preaching. Thank God in one meeting, a woman come from the side. She couldn't even walk. She believed it. The Holy Ghost tagged it. But the church in this hour has my friend delivered their mind over to, thank God, the world and not God, and they don't believe hell no more. You say, how do I know what I believe? By how we live. Judgment preaching always brings saints to their senses. Notice what he said. This is amazing what this man's asking. He's asking for mercy. He's asking for one tip of his finger in water, cool my tongue. And this is what he said, for I'm tormented in this flame. Notice what he said. That the first torment means torture. This is what this tormented me here. I'm in intense pain. You know, if I was in hell, I'd want God to get me out of there. I'd say, Lord God, get me out of here. Have mercy on me. It ain't going to happen. But I'll tell you what this man wanted. He wanted comfort there. He really wanted comforting from his pain of judgment. Now, I won't say this tonight. It's just as simple as it can be, but it's hard for you to grab a hold of. Jesus tasted death for every man. That meant that he experienced hell. He experienced the sufferings of the cross. Which everything this rich man cried for or wanted, Christ did on the cross. So a man that goes to hell will have to experience or taste death that Christ tasted. That's just simple. I mean, as I know it's hard for people to grab hold of. Hey, man, Jesus hung on the cross for 6 hours, and He suffered for 6 hours. And not only physically, He suffered mentally. He suffered from the Father turning His back. Everything about the cross was complete suffering. That's exactly right. The cross is not an emblem. The cross is not a necklace you put around your neck to be spiritual. The cross don't have one drop of blood on Christ. He's not on the cross. He's in heaven. But the cross was a butcher house. The cross was a place of complete suffering. Amen. Take my friend what he went through. Thank God he did it for sin. And sin's the issue tonight. And this man went to hell because he rejected God. And God rejected him because he rejected God. And he left his eyes in hell. And this is what he's basically saying. I need some comfort. What he's saying, I want you to comfort me. I want you to comfort me. And I don't say this tonight. Think about this. I'm just throwing this out here. I'm not saying that I know this to be true. Because at the resurrection, Jesus took the righteous people to heaven. He emptied Hades, He emptied the paradise side of Hades. He led them that was captive, He led them out. And He gave gifts to men. But how many people tonight are in hell? That's calling your name. Just a thought. This man called Lazarus' name. You say, preacher, can I pray people out of hell?
that's a good question. I'm not talking about people already in hell. You can't pray them out. That's a falseness by the Roman Church. But can I pray tonight people out of hell are going to hell? Well, Paul did. Paul's prayer for Israel was to be saved. What was the reconciliation prayer? We pray you in Christ's stead be you reconciled to God. That's what Paul said. Two times he mentioned prayer for people that was lost. He mentioned prayer for people that were sinners. Paul prayed for Israel that they would be saved. Paul told the Corinthian church to be ambassadors for Christ. And he said, I pray you in Christ's stead. Notice, that's amazing right there. I'm telling you, friend, ain't God or not? He said, I'm telling you, I pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. I'm praying in Christ's stead for you to be made, ain't God, right with God. That woman sits on the back, well, she ain't on the back row tonight. I can actually say that God burdened my heart for her so heavy that when God saved that woman, I said this, my mama that birthed me in this world, when she walked forward that morning and got born again, I felt like I was getting saved with her. I really did. I saw family members get saved, my wife get saved that night coming home from that revival meeting. And I'm just saying this. God ain't going to put everybody on your heart. I hope you'll take what I'm telling you. There ain't nobody going to pray for these boys better than their mama. Now, if I was in the hospital sick, I appreciate men of God coming by praying. But I'm going to tell you who's going to help more than anybody is going to be that woman that married to me. And I'm going to tell you, I can get in under the burden. I feel like God's getting me to get under with the burden. But I'm telling you this tonight, there's something about mama's prayers. There's something about a mama's prayers. Now, I don't understand all that, and I tell you, there is something about a mama's prayers. My grandma, my daddy's mama, she was a meek woman. She prayed. She told my daddy she was praying for him. And I remember her praying in a church service. And I'm glad she did. And I heard a meek prayer. And there's something about a mama's prayers. God puts it in their heart. And I'm telling you, when they go to hell, you can't pray them out. But I tell you, the praying ought to be done on this side. Amen. It ought not be done after they're dead. It ought to be on this side. And I'm telling you, friend, there's something about prayers in heaven. Thank God there's a bottle of our tears and the prayers of the saints. There's something about it tonight. Oh, God, one more time, stir the church. Thank God to get it in the heart. Thank God to get a burden again. Thank God to have God to help us. And we see somebody walk toward God and get born again. Amen. He said this, tormented in this flame. Now I must say this, and I don't mean to be ugly, but God help any evangelist or preacher to say there ain't fire in hell. What in the world is a flame? Right. You know what a flame is? It's a blaze. Anybody that denies that, it's denying the Bible. Hell, he called it hell fire. He said they'll be putting hell fire. He said everlasting fire, everlasting punishment. Right. God have mercy. And this is Abraham's voice back to him. Verse 25, Abraham said, son, remember, that's the worst thing about hell. Remember. Remember. Memory's a great thing. I find mine lapsing some. I hate it, but it's true. I still blame some of it on that deep anesthesia in that open heart surgery. And y'all brothers know it's that open heart surgery to take your heart out, put it on a pump. And they put you about to death, really. Bring you back. And that old doctor said, "Preacher," I said, "Doctor," I said, "there's days I can't think of people's name." I said, "I've always had a good memory." He said, and that's what he said. He said, "Well, when they put you on that pump, a lot of people have memory lapses." Thank God preaching's in the spirit, not the flesh. But I still use my flesh and mind to do it. And I'm going to tell you, memory's a great thing. Memory's a great thing. But I'm telling you what, it's not a great thing in hell. Worst thing, and I like what old Barnard said, he said it's God's bloodhound. It's God's bloodhound in hell. The memory's God's bloodhound in hell. It's a bloodhound in hell. It just keeps attracting you. Memory keeps attracting you. Oh, God dealt with you. God spoke to you. The light was turned on. You sat down to preach the word. Amen. You had a moment to pray. Thank God. I remember, son, in thy lifetime. He dealt with his lifetime. Did you receive good things? Lazarus, evil. Now he's comforted. Now he's telling me this. He's actually talking to me. Verse 26, and beside all this, buddy, that's a text right there. That's a verse right there. That's a message right there. And beside all this memory stuff, beside all this torment, and beside all this, there's a great gulf. Between us and you, there's a great gulf fixed. It's settled. It's set. Buddy, I'm just being honest with you. I love people, but anybody that's sold for that falseness of purgatory, that is a wicked bunch of false doctrine. And Miss Linda, you told me that one time they died, that one of them people died. They was actually saying that they was praying that they wouldn't have us. Have a strong judgment on them people and actually deliver them out of a place called purgatory. Friend, I'm telling you, them people have been turned over to the devil. And you talk about the depths of Satan, that's the depths of Satan in that book, friend. Listen, can I tell you tonight, the devil ain't in the bars. The devil ain't in the clubs. He's not there. He's not there. The devil's sitting in churches. The devil's sitting in religion. He's the utmost religious person. If this thing could be uncovered tonight, Lucifer is the most up religious person there is. And his main thing is deception and lies and falseness. And he's a liar and the truth ain't in him. And buddy, tonight he's trying to destroy people and he's doing it through falseness. There ain't no such thing a man does. According to this Bible, he's either heaven or hell, friend. Notice what he said. He said, so they which would pass from hence to you cannot. Wonder how many people have thought their own mind. I should have told him before he died. I should have told her before I died. I should have. Neither can they pass to us that would come from this. Here's the rich man. He's going to get back up and talk right here. I told you he didn't ask to get out of hell. He wanted comfort in hell. And this is his other request. Verse number 27. And then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldst send him to my father's house. I'm praying. I mean, he said, use the word pray. He said, I pray therefore, Father, that you would send Lazarus to my father's house. Notice what he said. For I have five brethren. Now I'm just putting this. He's got five brothers. He gave a number. He didn't say, I have brothers. He said, I got five of them. Notice what he wanted him to do. Apparently, Lazarus had testified to him. Why do he said that he may testify unto them lest they also come into this place. He told me, he said, I want Lazarus, my quest. He's talking to Abraham now. He said, I want Lazarus to go to my brother's house, and I want him to testify to him. Go tell him. Don't want him to come to this place. Go tell Lazarus. Go tell him. Don't come to hell. It's terrible. It's torment. It's forever. I ain't never getting out. I'm suffering forever in hell. Tell him. Don't come here. God help a bunch of people don't want a preacher to raise his voice. That's crazy. People going to hell and they don't want a preacher with no unction, no boldness. Don't tell them nothing that the Bible says. Hey, we want a man to tickle our ears. We want a man to pat us on the back. We want a man not to turn. Ain't God disturbed people. Friend, I'm telling you, you better hope God disturbs you. I hope He disturbs you tonight. I'd like to see Him disturb everybody. God help my heart. My heart's too hard. Yours is too. My heart's too hard. Can't even get juice out of my eyes tonight. And I don't fake juice. It comes out, I don't cry much. Not in public, most of the time in private. This man wanted somebody to go to his father's house. Notice this, he wanted Lazarus to go there. And this is what Abraham said unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. Moses, type of law, you know that, the word. Prophet's the type of the preacher. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. No, they're not going to repent. You read the book of Revelation, son, when the God was just putting the judgment on them, them people was cussing God still. They wasn't going to repent. They going to go, hey, listen, friend, if you really want to see what wickedness is, you wait till God unleashes judgment on the world of people. And you see no Holy Ghost here because the restrainer's going to leave, thank God, with the church. You won't be here during that time. You say, when's that going to happen, preacher? I don't know. I don't know. Could be so. I will say this. I know what the Bible says. God will send them a strong delusion. And they'll believe a lie. And be damned. That meant, if I can say this, and this is what I believe. I mean, if you might not believe it, I'm open to hearing anything on it. So I really don't know a lot of eschatology. I thought I used to know some things about it. But I will say this. I will say this. A man that's heard the truth, he's going to be turned over to that delusion. If he receives not the love of the truth, he's going to have somebody begging him to get in. That means in the church age of people that heard the truth of God, if they rejected it, they're going to be damned. That's right. Amen. You say, what's the everlasting gospel be preached? But the thing about it is, friend, listen to me. I believe this. I believe God's going to turn back to the Jew. I believe the church age is the age of grace. And I believe, thank God, that there's coming a day to end of that dispensation of time. But I'm telling you what, friend. This thing of what this man was praying and asking Abraham to do, it couldn't be done. Number one, Lazarus ain't getting out of paradise, going to an earthly home to testify to somebody. I'm going to tell you something. I bought. And I would love, if somebody told me this, that's what he called you to do. That's what he called you to do. That's what he called you to do. He didn't call Lazarus to do it. He called us to do it. How many times you stood flat-footed like I have in times with people in the house and shook in your own boots and said, the Holy Ghost told me to witness to this person. And I didn't do it. Here's the thing. I can't save them, but God put me as a responsible party to do it. You say, well, they won't like me. Well, they hated Jesus. They crucified him. The gospel's offensive. Gospel's offensive.
Amen.
You ain't going to get saved without being offended.
Amen.
I used to offend a lot of people. I don't offend many no more. I've got salt. And listen, I don't leave to go offend. That's not what I'm doing. If I just go give the gospel. Me and my wife went by. Dick Sporting goes up here yesterday. And that guy is so nice, you know, waiting on us. And asked me, you know, that old cordial stuff. Did you have a good Thanksgiving? All that stuff, you know. I said, yes, all right. He said, I hope y'all have a great day. I said, yes, sir, I hope you do too. And about that time, I pulled that church card out and I said, sir, I said, I pastor this church up here and I'd love for you to come visit us sometime. And he looked at it and I could see his whole countenance change. He didn't get mad. It just dropped. Anytime you put God, Jesus Christ, the church, the blood, anything like that, son, I'm going to tell you what, it will tell what people have. Walk in a crowd of people down at the restaurant or something. A little crowd of people and they say, how you doing today, sir? Say, boy, I'm doing good. I'm washed in the blood of Christ. The whole atmosphere changed. Now, if you say God's good or something like that, it'll change a little bit. But when you talk about the blood of Christ, being saved from hell, oh, right there, son, it's just like, ugh. And then if you really get people to see that they're going to hell, about that time, they're about ready to want to hit you. But long as we're just that ecumenical, hopping, skipping along, smiling, chewing gum, everybody's going to heaven when they die. You say, preacher, are you trying to get us to be bold? No, I'm trying to get you to be obedient. That's right. Boldness is not arrogance. Boldness has got some wisdom to it. That's got frankness to it that this is the way to God. Buddy, I'm telling you, you ever compromise the way to God, son, you're an apostate. There ain't but one way to God, and that's through Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And if you don't believe that, you're an apostate. You'll be in hell before morning comes. And I don't know what morning, but it will happen. Send Lazarus. I need him to go to my father's house. I got five brothers, and I don't want them to come to this place of torment. See, we got people that play church. Everywhere you go, people play church. They got coattail religion. Coattail religion is just pulling on the coattail. That's just like that crowd said when the Republican man gets in, people get in by the coattail. You don't get in the kingdom of God by the coattail. Every salvation experience, every salvation is up to you and God. It's up to God then you, and it's up to you to respond. And I'm telling you, it's between you and God. It ain't between you and mom and dad. It ain't between you and the preacher. It's not between you and the deacon. It's not between you and your parents. It's between you and God. This man's words was to send Lazarus, have mercy, put water on my tongue, go to my father's house, but not one time did that man ask to get out of hell. And the last verse says, and he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, they won't hear Brother Hyde, they won't hear Brother Shank, Brother Dan, whoever preaching the gospel, if they'll hear not them, they won't be persuaded. If a man come in the church tonight, if it was possible, it ain't possible. If God let him out of hell and he come in here with, thank God, with smoke on him and his clothes burned and weeping before a congregation and said, don't go to that place. Don't go to that place. Don't go to hell. Don't go to that place. It's everlasting torment. It's judgment. It's torment. It's terrible. And you never can get out. Don't go there. Don't go there. You know what you do? You look at him just like you look at anybody else. Because if they won't hear Moses and the prophets, they won't be persuaded.
Right.
If one come out of hell. And I'm going to tell you what, listen to me. The community of the Baptist Church is in great danger. Great danger of not having this message where it ought to be today in the hearts of our congregations. That's right. Buddy, I'm going to tell you what, I would never preach hell to scare anybody into it. That ain't my desire. My desire is to preach the Bible as it is, and the Holy Spirit speak to our heart about this place called hell and the place called heaven. Lazarus went to heaven. Lazarus went to paradise. He was in the presence of God and he was comforted. There's another end to it. Thank God for them that's saved by the grace of God and enter into the kingdom of God. Thank God. By faith in Christ and knowing their heart. And it wouldn't do you, it wouldn't do me a hill of beans good tonight to put on a show, to act like I'm a preacher, to act like I'm a Christian. And my friend, my testimony is straight to hell when I die because I never have been saved. And you got up and said, oh, thank God, preachers in heaven. Yes. And I'm lifting my eyes up in hell, being in torment. I'm going to tell you, there ain't a person that ever goes to heaven because he's a preacher. He don't go to heaven because he's a Sunday school teacher or a choir member or a church member. There ain't nobody goes to heaven because of that. They go to heaven because they've been born again and they know God in their heart and God knows them. And men go to hell because of unbelief. They're condemned already because of unbelief. Appreciate you hearing the Word of God. Let's stand tonight.